Good evening. Here we are Wednesday night before Thanksgiving Thursday on 2012 here, and time is just a-flying, that's for sure. We're continuing in our series, My Way or the Highway, meaning a new life in Christ, and we previously have talked about the need for this new life, and we spoke about the way to this new life, and now we're going to talk about the glorious results of this new life, that we just not think of the work part, but there is certainly reaping of the treasures of the Lord in regards to this. Last week, we did not have our regular teaching. We had a prayer service, so that wasn't recorded. So, and then the week before, we had our congregation share their salvation experience, so there wasn't a sermon on that. But here we are back finishing up our series on My Way or the Highway. And I have often shared in many different avenues and ways and to different people that the things that we're talking about is not a belief system. The thing we're talking about, it's the truth. You have to be seeking the truth. Because you can believe something with all of your heart, that doesn't make it true. And I've said this many times. Long time ago, they believed with all their heart that the world was flat. But it wasn't. So it's not just believing. Some people believe all over the world that there is no God, and they believe it with all their heart. Some people believe with all their heart that there is a God. So it isn't a matter of believing hard. It's finding the truth. Either God is who he says he is or he isn't. And it's your journey to find the truth. Now, God gives us a little hint, and he says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that experience with him, it is not paralleled in anything else in our lives. It can only be experienced by you with the Lord. It's not sitting in church that's going to do this, and reading the scriptures is good, but you have to have that unique experience with Jesus Christ. Each individual to go on to have the, to even understand the need and the way for this new life, and to understand and even hear and cherish the results of this new life. You have to have that new life in you. And it doesn't come by church membership. It doesn't come by just giving either. It doesn't come by good works. It comes by you humbling yourself before the mighty God and asking Jesus Christ inside. Not just up in your head for knowledge, but in your heart as the motor of your life. Now, the results of this new life in Christ, of course, I'm preaching to the choir here when you're preaching in church, but there's many people listening, and we just need to be refreshed. But there's many people listening. It might be new news to them. And this new news, God calls it good news, for sure. But most of us know the results of this new life in Christ because we are experiencing it. But I just wanted to review it real quickly. You receive everlasting life. Now, there's other results, but boy, I'll tell you, that is right up front for me. Everlasting life. And for me, that's the winner. It really is. You get everlasting life. Not here on this planet. This is a season we have here, but the everlasting life. And I want you to look at that word again, everlasting. That means it never stops. Your life here will end. And if anyone hasn't noticed it, every single thing dies. Animals die, trees die, plants die, rivers dry up, people die. Everything dies. You have a terminal disease when you're born. You're going to die. You are going to die. Life is a terminal disease. You're going to die. But in Jesus Christ, only the physical life ends. Your spiritual life continues, and that in a new body and in a new place. Oh, that's just a myth. That's whatever. You see, I'm telling you, if you don't have that Jesus Christ inside, it's all just going to be foolishness. And God himself said that the gospel is foolishness to those that are perishing. Gives us pause to think about all of those things. So this everlasting life, meaning that new relationship with God. And in John 10:10, he says that he wants us to have life and have that more abundantly. Now, some people have kind of changed that word, and they think God wants you to have stuff and have stuff more abundantly. No, no. It's nice if you have stuff, But that's not the life that God's talking about. Because you could actually be destitute and really have nothing. Have everyone left you, have your house burned down. Look at these poor people up there with Hurricane Sandy. Some of them had all sorts of riches. Everything is gone. It's either burned to the ground or it's so totally destroyed by water and wind that it's never going to be replaced. So, and yet some of them up there who know Jesus Christ and are hanging on to him, even though they have lost stuff, they haven't lost life. And they still have that. And that's the big difference. So much of the natural world, those who do not have that relationship with Jesus, only have the broken nature, the Adam nature they were born with. And they are very much connected to stuff and to people. And when stuff and people aren't around, they have no joy. They have no will to live. They have no reason or being. But with Jesus Christ inside, that all changes. You still have life. He still gives you reason to be. He still gives you that wondrous security that you have, even when your stuff is gone. If you're in Jesus Christ, your life is not gone. Now that life, when I say you get life with Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that you weren't physically alive before you were saved. It doesn't mean that at all. When it talks about having everlasting life, it means that with a new life in Christ, what it is, it's a new spiritual vitality that you lacked before. You had life, you had breath, you had movement, you had physical whatever. But this is something new. You receive this when you receive Jesus. There's something different inside. There's a power inside. There's a sense inside. There's this, even though everything's going wrong, there's something very solid and secure in you that I don't know what's going to happen. But I have learned enough in you, Lord, that you have all power and you know who I am. You know what I need, and I truly depend on you. And those people up there in Hurricane Sandy, up there in New York and New Jersey area, those that are hanging on to the Lord, it is going to work out for them. Now, it'll work out for some who don't know the Lord. I'm not saying that. But they're going to have they're going to be back to what? Stuff again. You can have stuff and life. And that's with Jesus Christ. So it's a spiritual vitality. So in addition to everlasting life, the results of this new life, you also get a new nature. You become a new man. And people say, oh, new man. It doesn't mean male when it uses man. Very often in the scriptures, you've got to go back and look at the meaning. When it says new man, it very often is not talking about male and female. It means human, the being, the human being. So you become a new man as opposed to the old man that you were before Christ came into your life. And in Ephesians 4:22, it says that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. So this new life means you what? You lay aside the old life. Now that's something purposeful each one of us are going to have to do. Each one of us have different details in our lives, different thoughts and processes, different ethnic groups and cultures and backgrounds and education and bringing up, etc. So God knows how to work uniquely with each one of us. He knows how to help us identify and lay aside the old life. No more excuses. God truly means it. It's my way or the highway. And he's not being mean. He's saying, listen, wisdom here. If you do it my way, there's going to be many more blessings. There will be wisdom that reigns. There will be relationships that work out. You'll stay away from the errors that bring even more problems into your life. If we would just obey God. It is hard up front. But boy, I tell you, the people that are stuck in the sex addictions and the pornography and the alcohol and the drugs and the broken homes and the broken children and the abused children, all of this, that doesn't fall on them like a flea. That's the end result of decisions that they made or decisions that others made and sinned against them. All of it's against God. People end up shaking their fist at God when this stuff happens. They're shaking their fist at the wrong one. What they're doing is exactly what God said not to do. If you do that, then horror and defaming will come against you. Loss of life and limb and family and security and everything. He said, don't do that. It's hard for you to hold back. It's hard for you to do this. But get my spirit inside of you and you will have the actual power to be able to not sin. If you try and do it on your own, you're only going to get so far. You're going to fail a million times. And then you're going to give up and think, I don't exist. God says, no, just start humbling yourself. Find out what I have said and do it. Live it with all of your heart, with the Spirit of God coming forth from you in that doing. Now, when it talks about this new nature, I need to clarify something about the word new that's being used. And in the New Testament, it was written in the Greek. So we had a lot of our translations are from the Greek. But you know, in translating between one language and another, you lose a little bit of the flavor of that. Like, what's the Spanish saying, cuatro gato, four cats, meaning there's just a few people, you know. But so if you say to an English speaker and they look at a small group and they say, and the Spanish person says, hey, cuatro gato tonight, and you go, that means what? You go, that means four cats. And you go, what does that mean? Just like our saying is like, oh, I've got a monkey on my back. Well, somebody just stepping off the plane from a foreign country would go, monkey. They look it up in a dictionary. She has monkey on back. No, I see no monkey. You know what I mean? It's like there's certain expressions that get lost in between different languages. So the word new being used in the Greek word, one meaning of the word new, when we see it in English and it says new, it came from a Greek word that meant new. So, but you've got to look and see what was the meaning of that Greek word. The Greek word meaning new sometimes means something renovated or repaired. That does not involve, when God talks about the new nature, that is not the Greek word that's used. Our nature, the Adam nature, can never be repaired or renovated. It is death. It is broken. It is not of God. It is something you have to fight. It is the flesh you have to crucify. It will never be repaired. And that's a great mistake many people think. They just repair the old nature. No, you get a whole new nature. And you, God says you can't serve two masters. So you have the nature of God in you, and you have the Adam nature you were born with. One from your physical birth and one from your spiritual birth. And now you have these two powers inside. And the one you defer to, the one that you let rule you, is what's ruling you in the moment. And God says you can't serve two masters. Not at the same time. You're either going to do what God says, or you're going to do what the Adam nature says. What you've practiced, what you've done. Now, it's hard to get rid of the Adam nature, because that's all we've ever known. It's how we thought, what we felt, what we wanted, how we perceived things, what our viewpoint was. This is a long journey. Getting saved is not the end point. Getting saved is the beginning point of the journey. But part of this is this, there is a need for the new life, there's a way to the new life, and we're talking about the results of this new life in Jesus Christ. And it is my way or the highway. But it has to be that way. It's sort of like when you hike the Appalachian Trail. If you don't follow the trail, you're not on it. So it's like my way or the highway. The map is my way or the highway. You're either on it or you're not. You're either on a route going to God or you're not. You're on the way, the path that He said to go. This is the way, walk in it. It's just as simple as that. It's not like some mean God that says, well, do it my way or you get nothing. No, it is the way to eternal life. It is the way to everything we're looking for. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. It goes on and on with all the, even the most precious words we love to hear. And yet the deeds of the flesh, the dissensions, the factions, the angers, the immoralities, the sensualities, the witchcraft. That list is all the ugly things. So your flesh can only bring you ugly. And the Spirit of God can bring you glory and rightness. But it's hard because you've got this angry Adam nature that used to be the boss that you're not letting rule you anymore. And the adversary, that's his territory. He hates giving up power. So it is going to be a battle. And it is going to be a struggle. But there's no repairing or renovating of the sin nature. So the new nature is not that Greek word. The Greek word used to describe this new life in Christ is the one that means new as in fresh existence. Brand new. Not the old one done over. It's not like a, you know, sometimes you get, what do they call that when they redo a part? Yeah. No, they redo a part of refurbished. When you get a part that goes in an engine, like it's a redone.
Remanufactured?
Remanufactured or something like that. You don't get an old, you know, alternator that was refurbished and put in your car, so to speak. There's no refurbishing. God doesn't take your Adam nature and tweak it and make it holy. That's nothing, that's forever dead. And if that's all you have in you, you're forever going to be in hell. You cannot be in God's presence. His power and presence has to be in you for you to go to be with him. So it means fresh, brand new, not the old one done over. You really are a new man. You end up with a new family, the family of God. Across the whole world are the brothers and sisters in Christ. You have a new set of values. You have new motivations. You have a new viewpoint. I don't know about you, but boy, I'll tell you, the way I look at things is totally different than I did when I came to know the Lord in 1976. That's a long time ago. That's what, 36 years ago. That's a long time ago. But I do not think like I did back then. I do not want like I did back then. And I do not feel like I did back then. God has done a major reconstruction in me. And by the journey is crucifying your flesh when it comes up. Let it practice letting the Spirit of God rule through each and every one of us. Now, the old nature, like I said, it doesn't disappear. I wish it did. I wish once Jesus Christ came in, the other one left, and all you have is the Spirit of God ruling all day long. But it doesn't, because it does exist. I mean, I have my arms and my legs. I didn't lose any parts of my body when Jesus came in. I didn't lose how I think or anything when Jesus came in. I now have a choice when Jesus came in. Before I had choices, but it was between the good, the bad, the ugly. You know, my thinker was broken, my wanter was broken, and my feeler was broken. So my choices were extremely limited to brokenness. But with Jesus Christ, now I have newness of life. God wants you to practice. It's a practice putting away the old and letting the new nature actually rule you, have power within you, be what you want. Now, it's not a set of rules. It's a matter of a love relationship developing between you and Jesus Christ. That is the difference. You end up wanting to obey him. So as, and you're not going to know it all overnight. This is a long journey. This is a 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 year long journey here. I've been reading that same Bible for that same 36 years, and it is brand new to me each time. I see something new. I understand something deeper. I don't have a whole new, there's no different God. I don't come up with 16 Jesus after I read this stuff. No. It's the same God and the same Jesus, but it's richer, it's deeper, and it's sweeter. And this new nature does need to grow. It's like a baby thing in there. When you're saved, you're like an infant. And you need to learn the ways of God. Every single thing, how you talk, how you walk, how you squawk, everything truly, truly changes in the things of God. And in Colossians 3, verses 9 and 10, it tells us, don't lie to one another. Colossians 3, 9 to 10. What we did so easily before in the flesh. He said, don't lie to one another. Since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self who is being renewed to what? To a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created you. Whoa. He's telling us that as we practice these things and we put aside the old and take on that new, we end up finding out a true knowledge of God. Only in putting away the foolish ideas and thoughts about, and your Adam nature has ideas about who God is. Some people think he's a wrathful God. Some people think there isn't a God. I mean, your Adam nature is not going to bring you the truth. Only God is going to bring you the truth. God says you seek God, you're going to find God. And if you're in 2012 seeking God, you're going to find Jesus. Those that were back in the year 1500 BC, there wasn't any Jesus. There was a hope for the Messiah. They come under a different set of circumstances. Patriarchs, kings, the law, Moses, Israelites, etc., etc. Right now, today, we are here after Jesus came and made the covenant, the new covenant, the reestablishment with God possible for those who have an Adam nature. So, so powerful. This result of the new nature gives us a true message of supreme hope, because the Spirit of God in you can accomplish that life-changing transformation for everyone who will have Jesus Christ inside. It is life-changing. Relationships change, marriage changes, everything. employer, employee, employee or employer, I don't care what position you are, who you are in this earth, as you start softening, as forgiveness becomes part of your life, as wisdom becomes part of your decisions, as love flows out from you that is pure and not dependent on whether someone loves you back, as you have kindness for unkindness, your whole life is going to change. And you know something? What's so wonderful? God uses that to touch someone else, to stir up in them the beginning journey for them also. This is not a God that's some wrathful God up there waiting for you to sin. This is a God who knows we're born handicapped. This is a God who loves us long before we ever loved him. And he's one willing to come into our hearts if we invite him. He will not force himself on us. That'd be like spiritual rape. He will never have an aggressive act towards us, say, you must come to me. You must love me. That's a forced affection. He doesn't want us loving him through fear. He wants us loving him through love. And that can't come unless Jesus Christ is inside. The third thing we get, and I don't want to limit this to, I'm just saying generally, is you receive the righteousness of Christ. That is huge. Not only everlasting life and a new life, you actually receive the righteousness of Christ. None of us could be in the presence of God even on this earth. We couldn't even, our prayers would go to the ceiling. God has mercy on those who cry out to him, but you cannot be in his presence without righteousness, because nothing filthy, nothing unrighteous can be in the presence of God. We actually can commune with him. We can not only talk to him, he can talk back to us. Not in this audible way that some people are plagued with, oh, God told me to shoot this one and that one. No. If God's speaking to you, he will never tell you to do something against the principles he has already established. God is so good. Oh, well, but God told the Israelites to kill the people in the village. Yeah, but we're here with Jesus. He brought the new covenant, the new and living way. God is so good. Now it is personal. Now there's no more priest, no more temple, no more any of those things that were the holding things until Jesus could come. We actually have direct access to Jesus. There's one mediator between God and man, and that is Jesus Christ. And he's ever interceding before God for you. So even when you're messed up, Jesus is up there saying, Lord, look at this. We can work this out. Help them. Give them grace. Give them mercy. Give them wisdom. Give them protection. Whatever's needed at the time in our lives. So you actually receive the righteousness of Christ. God requires us to be righteous. We have to meet his ethical standards, his moral standards, and we can't without Jesus Christ. And it would seem impossible because he says, you're all sinners. No one, not one, is righteous. No one is without sin. So you think, oh my gosh, then we're doomed. But we're not. In Jesus Christ, Jesus' righteousness is upon us and is then seen as our righteousness. What a covering. What a help to our handicapped situation with a demonic and ugly, worldly, fleshy nature that's all rolled up in the Adam nature. Boy, I tell you, when Jesus died on the cross, what an ultimate price he paid. The one who never sinned took all of the horror. I mean, we don't understand it because we've never experienced it. But I get a little hint of what it might have been like when you really love the Lord with all your heart, but you sin, you feel really badly about it. Like, oh God, I'm so sorry. That's so unclean. That's so wrong. I'm so sorry. Well, magnify that by about 100 million. The guilt of all sin, the horror of all sin, the separation from God. And we feel it. If you have Jesus Christ in you and you sin, which means God didn't sin, God's spirit in you didn't sin, that meant in that moment, you didn't let God lead you. You let the Adam nature lead you. You're really separate for that moment. You feel it. I feel lost. I feel separate. Oh, it's yuck. It's ugly. I'm glad it's there. But you know the difference between the Adam nature rule and the God nature rule. And boy, I tell you, it's absolutely powerful what Jesus did when he took those sins upon him. That actually paid God back. Not just for what Adam did, but for what every human being with that broken Adam nature did. And boy, I tell you, it was a justifiable wrath that came upon Jesus. He felt it when he cried out and he said, oh God, why have you forsaken me? I mean, It wasn't that he was confused or anything. He felt it. All of the sin of the world from the beginning to the end was upon him. He never felt that before. He was always in communion with God. That was a true spiritual inner pain that he had, in addition to all the, and you've seen all sorts of Hollywood presentations of what a crucifixion is like. You can read it in the medical sections on what a crucifixion is like. It was a terrible, painful death, but he did it, and he did it voluntarily. He actually wore our sins so that we could wear his righteousness.
Wow.
It just absolutely powerful, powerful, powerful. And now, again, I just have to remind us, because Jesus did all that and forgave us our sins, it doesn't mean that we're free to sin. Oh, good, I'm saved. Now I can do anything I want. No. Paul said, heaven forbid. Because you have grace and mercy and forgiveness on you. Heaven forbid that you go out and sin. If you think that you can get saved and then you can still go out and sin, I don't think you had that relationship straight with him. I don't think you are. If you're thinking, great, let's get saved so we can go sin. No. You got a little ways to go in the pot here before you really kind of have that line straight with the Lord. That new life in you is really, really going to keep you in a different direction. You may still do some of the things you did, but you are not going to do it as freely as you did, and you're not going to do it with such a freedom. You're going to really feel that tug. Oh, I'm still doing this, but I'm not feeling comfortable like I used to. That's that new life. It stirs you inside. Now, the old man is still alive, but you've got to get in the practice and the habit of crucifying the flesh. And in 2 Corinthians 5:21, lest you think this is just my idea of what he did, it says that he made him, meaning Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf. Wow. That we might become the righteousness of God in him. And in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. So it does take a little on your part. You've got to go to him. You've got to call out to this great God. And he takes it truly from there. And it says, and that not of yourselves. This is a gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. So that no one can say, oh, look, I went to church 12 times, and I gave 16 times over here, and I helped feed the poor, and I saved the dog from being hit by a car, therefore I'm saved. No, it's not anything that you as a person has done. This is a free gift of God. It is open to anyone and everyone. I don't care if you're a Muslim. I don't care if you're an atheist. I don't care if you're a Buddhist or a Taoist. I don't care if you're an agnostic, whatever. If you just go to that real God and you cry out and say, God, I want truth. I don't want belief systems. I'm sick of belief systems. Belief systems just fight against one another for power and for who believes what. I don't want belief. I want truth. I want the real God out there to manifest. Talk to me. I need to know you. If you do that, he absolutely will somehow bring Jesus Christ your way, because it's not just what you think. It is in Jesus Christ. It's so, so powerful. Now, the fourth thing, after all of this eternal life and the new life and the righteousness of Christ, you're actually placed in the family of God. Now, remember, we're all born sinners, so to be placed in the family of God, a huge and miraculous transformation must take place. Because, see, he's holy. And all those that are up there with him right now are holy, because they're one with him. They finished their journey here. They're done. They are together in oneness and in the righteousness of Christ. So this transformation occurs when you're born again. You actually come into this new family. It's a new spiritual journey. It's a new family and a relationship in Christ. And I often think of this. We were really torn out of God's hands by what Adam did. I know the adversary was jumping up and down with glee when that occurred, because he was the central point of the deception that caused them to do that. But we were put back into the hands of God by what Jesus did. And as you go along on this journey, you find out, oh, how much God loves his creation. How much God loves us. On the journey with the Lord and his Spirit inside, that will grow in each one of us. Now, we showed a video a while ago about the train You know, it's called Most, you know, about the father that loved his son, but his son got stuck on the track and he had to either, his son fell down in with the gears that were going to put the bridge down. So he had this huge decision, save the hundreds of people on the train that knew nothing about what was going on. They were just sitting there half, someone was doing heroin, someone else was playing, he was getting drunk, someone else playing cards. All these people were doing, you know, in the world, I mean, look at, you know, they really weren't worth all this effort. But the example that was given in this movie was, look at this decision. Do I save my son or do I save all these people? Do I save my son? Do I save all these people? So that movie really gave us a huge picture of what was going on. And the man in the movie just, he was tormented, but he pulled the lever so that the bridge would go down and that the people on the train would be saved. But his son was lost. God did the same thing. All of us who are not worth anything in our foolishness. Here Jesus is perfect. And God had to have him die. God had to have him suffer. God had to have him go through all this so that those of us on the train of life, so to speak, in our worthless condition, that's how much God loves us. Even when we didn't love him. He has gone through all of this. He will bend over backwards to call you and woo you. And he doesn't give up calling you. If you say no 100,000 times, he will still call you. He'll bring people your way. He'll bring his message. He'll bring his love. He'll manifest it. If you're 85 years old on some stretcher in a hallway of an emergency room, he's still going to speak in your ear. Come to me. Come to me. Let Jesus clarify and give you righteousness and make you pure. What a wasted life if you've waited that long. Don't wait any longer to get on the life and new life with Jesus Christ. God was loving us so much, he was willing to give up so much. And in Galatians 3:26, he says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ." Galatians 3:26. I mean, it clarifies it. You don't have to wonder, gee, I don't know, I haven't lived a good life, is God going to love me enough? It makes no difference when you're saved. It makes no difference if you're young or if you're middle or old. It's not a time frame with God. God just says, come to me. Because before your life ends on this earth, if you do not have the glowing, wonderful, glorious spirit of God in you, in Jesus Christ, you cannot be in his presence eternally. And in terms of being in God's family, you get a whole new set of brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. whether you want us or not. new set of brothers and sisters. Yeah. Now, the family thing I'm talking about means we're in God's family. And it means we've gone from slave to son, meaning in the inheritance, in the family, a progeny of God. Wow. No longer in bondage to death. No longer. I mean, we were, whether you like to admit it or not, you're slaves to sin. Mm. Now, you still can sin, but we're not a slave to sin. We struggle. We put it away. We crucify the flesh. This is a battle. But God says, the battle is not yours. It's mine. So he has the instruments to get through. So don't say you can't lick this problem. Don't say you can't put away this sin. God says in him you can. He can even change your desires. God, change my desire. I keep wanting that thing. So many times, you know, working as a pastor, you very often run into all sorts of different people, not just the people in your church. I'm out. I do a lot of outside ministry through Piercing the Darkness Ministries. Out there, our outreach ministry. I'm out there. So many drug addicts, so many alcoholics. I hate what I do. I've even been by the bedside of homosexuals who have died from AIDS, and they say, I hate my life. I hate the decisions I made. I didn't tell them to say that. I'm just listening to them pour their hearts out. Some people are just stuck in things that they don't like, they don't want. They've been fighting their whole life. God sees them fighting. Keep up the fight. Even if you fail, keep up the fight. Because this is a great and a loving God. So the point is that we really are born into bondage to sin. Let God break that cycle for each and every one of us. And just the privileges of God, being privileged to be in his family, there's responsibilities that come with that privilege of being one of God's children, to be a king's kid, as they say. This new sonship, we have to continually purify our own lives. That's it. You don't just say, oh, you know, sit in church and yabba dabba do and Dominus Fabiscum a few times and think you're holy. This is a long journey. This is an active, vital relationship with Jesus, and it's a constant pushing forward to God's excellence by crucifying the flesh. And as you let that Spirit of God rule, then you will start exhibiting the character of God too. And every one of us in here can attribute to that. And our married couples can say, you know, there still are struggles, but there's changes and there's differences. There's kindness where there was unkindness. Arguments are fewer or last, you know, less long. It's so many different changes. And it's unique to each one in here. But every one of us knows we are not who we were a number of years ago, even a month ago, even last week. And if there's no change in you, maybe we need to have some prayer. Maybe we need to help seek God for those changes. If you've known God 30 years and you're still whining and crying and can't understand, something's really wrong. Maybe you didn't hook up. Maybe you really didn't. Maybe you only talked it instead of really had that relationship with God. All of those things you have to review for yourself. And then 5, you're empowered by God. And the New Testament is full of examples how the power of the Spirit of God worked through the apostles. And they could do things they never could do before, like, hello, singing while you're in jail. I mean, that would be big. You just don't, I bet you the Adam nature ain't going to pull that one out. That was the Spirit of God coming through to endure shipwrecks and beatings and all those things. And yet those are hard things that happened, but also they had word of knowledge and discernment. And healings came through. So many powerful things. The working of the Spirit of God was not just for the first century church. Mm-hmm. All Christians filled with God's Spirit have that empowering Spirit within. To have those things, to hear from God, to bring forth the power and Spirit of God as He directs, not as we concoct. We can put away the deeds of the flesh as they crop up, but only by letting the Holy Spirit of God be the ruling nature within when sin crouches at our door. And in Romans 8:13, if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Whoa, I start reading this stuff again. I know I've read it. I've underlined it. I've started it. And I go, whoa, it jumps off the page at me still. If by the Spirit, it doesn't say if by the Adam nature you're putting to death the Adam nature, it won't work. If by the Spirit of God you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. The example was Jesus. He went to the death of the flesh physically to show us what we have to do spiritually. And guess what? He rose from the dead. You will rise from the death of your Adam nature. It is going to happen. Continue, keep going. Oh, but I can't forgive him. You keep seeking God. You keep crucifying the flesh. You're going to get to that point where you're going to go, whoa, so-and-so said the same stupid thing and I didn't feel bad. I didn't want to choke him. I didn't have hatred there. It just, you start seeing them with the eyes of God, with the compassion of God. You realize they're doing all that because they're handicapped, because their Adam nature is in ruling. They don't have the God nature in. You know, you're not going to get milk out of an empty pitcher. It isn't going to happen. You can pour that thing all you want. You're going to get nothing. If God's Spirit's not in someone, they are not going to be able to change. So pray all the harder for them to get saved if you're having trouble with them. And it's never going to work. I wanted to just real quickly read, and we're going to finish up here with Romans 8, chapter 8, Romans 8, verses 4 to 11. In order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. That's the Adam nature. Can't do anything else. But those who are according to the Spirit, we set our minds on the things of the Spirit. For the mind, listen to this one, the mind set on the flesh is death. It's never going to work out to something that's life. It's never going to be pure, it's never going to be right, and it's never going to be clean. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile to God. If you're doing what's in the flesh, you're automatically opposite to God. For it does not, the flesh, does not subject itself to the law of God. And this is the corker, guys, that last sentence. for it is not even able to do so. So you see, it's not my opinion. I'm telling you what God said. Your Adam nature cannot obey what God has said. You have to get the God nature in there. So it's not even you doing the obeying, for crying out loud. It's you doing the crucifying. And it's God's spirit that comes out holy and pure and high level and right. Verse 8, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So sit in the church all you want. Give to the poor all you want. It's good works that are going to burn. They're going nowhere because they're not led by the Spirit of God. Verse 9, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. The Adam nature does not trump God. God trumps the Adam nature. And verse 11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who indwells you. Well, that's pretty encouraging. I tell you, I feel a lot of times, I go, this isn't working, God. And God says, yes, it is. You just have to continue to let me be the motor and not you and your former ways and your former thoughts. So in finishing, there's no secret formula here. It's a matter, it's clear. It's simple. It's so simple, most people have just walked by it. You submit to the Spirit, the clean, holy, and wonderful Spirit and the power of God in you, and let him do the work. Remember now, we're all unrighteous and unclean by physical birth after Adam's sin. So we need a new life. All who come to Jesus for cleansing and forgiveness and salvation, you're on the way to a new life. And the results of this new life are promised by God to give you what was lost by Adam and restored through Jesus so that you become his child again. It was his plan from the beginning, and nothing has thwarted it. Not even Adam's sin. Not all the hundreds of years that have gone by and the thousands of years. It has not stopped God from his original intent. My creation, if they choose me, same as in the beginning with Adam and Eve. If you obey me, you get life. Don't eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Eat only of the tree of life. And that's what he's saying. We have the same choice today. You eat of the tree of death, which is the Adam nature, or you eat of the tree of life, which is Jesus Christ. It wasn't different from them, it's just different details, but it's the same principles. And God says, when you eat of life, and what did Jesus say? Eat of me. I am the bread of life. I mean, it all starts to come together. Talk about transforming lives and putting together the pieces. This just like goes, I go, whoa. All of the scripture isn't just separate little chapters and verses. It really all comes together. The results of this new life are promised by God to give you what was lost. Wow. It all comes together. Now, John 3:16 is ever so true. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. What a God we serve. So when he says my way or the highway, it really has to be clarified for us. It's not a meanness on God's part. It's just that you can't get to him unless you're on the path that he established. All roads don't lead to Rome in this situation, not any religion or belief system or whatever. He has set the standard. He has set the way. This is the way. Walk in it. Praise God. God bless you all.